Welcome to the Gain 2020 podcast series, where we speak with keynote speakers, sponsors, GMARQ leadership, and more about what to expect from this year's premier conference for government marketers. I'm your host, Matt Langan, and today I'll be speaking with Brian Chittister, who is the head of global industry strategy at OpenText. And he's also the host of the very popular Government Huddle GMARQ podcast series. And Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, Matt.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. I've certainly enjoyed your Government Huddle podcast series. You've done a tremendous job with it over this year. So it feels kind of funny for me to be actually interviewing you when I'm hearing you all the time interviewing all these heavy players, big players in our sector. So it's great to have you. And with that in mind, before we dive in and talk about Gain 2020, if you don't mind, tell our listeners about how you've been heavily involved with GMARQ this year. And also tell us more about the Government Huddle podcast series.
Well, first of all, a lot of the listeners probably don't know I have you to thank for any ability I have right now to stand up a podcast. So I got to give you some kudos, man.
Thanks.
But yeah, so working with GMARQ has been great. Luann and I kind of came together earlier this year to talk on some of the things that they were doing, especially on the onset of the pandemic. Everything shifted virtual and she was obviously looking for additional content platforms as she was looking to expand her ecosystem. So I've been happy to kind of participate in various different things that she's done, including a couple webinars. I know I participated in one of the Fed News radio podcasts that she puts on. But being part of Gain 2020 has been excellent. Been part of some of the leadership conversations as we made the pivot to digital, what some of the content looks like. And I didn't have a hand in picking the keynotes. I've been working on some other things. And I think, frankly, she and Stephanie have done a great job of pulling together some people that I know I'm really excited to hear from. So I figured the listeners are as well. And as far as the podcast goes, honestly, I've loved having some of these conversations. I know I do this for GMARQ and I do it for the listeners, but I've probably been the one who's gotten the most value out of having some of these conversations, some of these high level leaders in government and industry. So I've just been along for the ride throughout some of these conversations and just feel lucky to be able to have them.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think has been really awesome is that you've had a tremendous amount of success in getting government leaders, former government leaders. And as we all know, in the PR world here, it's often challenging to get a govie to go on the record and speak because they're always kind of afraid of, you know, endorsing a vendor or a product or anything like that. And I think you've really cracked the code there in terms of really getting the right people. I mean, you had Suzette Kent, you've had others. So props on that. And any secret sauce to our fellow PR people out there about how to get these heavy hitters for PR and podcasts and stuff like that?
Persistence, honestly. And it's one of the things that in the keynote commentary I delivered for Alexis's keynote, which I know we'll touch on in a second, is understand your audience. When I was talking to Suzette and trying to formalize what that interview could look like, I reached out to her and one of the first questions I asked her was about LSU football. It wasn't about government. It wasn't about her getting out of government or next steps or anything like that, but it was about LSU football. And I think that it resonates sometimes. So I think knowing your audience and what's really at the heart of some of their passions, and LSU is, I think she's even on the board at LSU now after she got out of government. So it's her alma mater. It's something she loves. And LSU football is something she continues to follow. So whatever it takes to make the connection, remember, these people are human beings. So just understand that audience. I think that's the biggest key. And leverage your LinkedIn ecosystem too. The podcast has taught me that sometimes there's people out there that you think might not be willing to pick up the phone or log in and have a conversation with you. Podcasts or not, they will. So don't just assume things. I think reach out and say, hey, I have a question about this or that. Would you be willing to have a conversation about me and mentor me through this? And I think you'll find more often than not, they are absolutely willing to help, especially in this industry.
Yeah, that's great. I really loved your point there about having them being human beings too. And I know that's something that Luann and GMARQ have talked about over the years as well, is that, you know, the government buyer is a person just like you. They have passion, whether it's LSU college football, it could be music, whatever it is, you know, they have those interests too. And like you said, if you know your audience and go for the ask, don't be afraid to ask. And what's the worst they're going to say? No, you know what I mean? So, hey, at least you tried, at least maybe in the process of them saying no, you raise your awareness with them, especially if you made a kind of personalized, compelling ask, right?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that I'm quickly learning as well is sometimes they want to have you validate why they should be on the show or why they should have a conversation. Great example of that. I was on a call late last night with the CIO of the City of Toronto, and I've been trying to get him on the show. He has a great story. For any of you who aren't familiar, just because they're not within the US, there was a very high profile smart city program that was happening in the heart of Toronto that he was spearheading, and data privacy issues and everything. And it was actually being worked on with Google as well. And it didn't end up coming to fruition, but a great story about how he puts the citizen at the center of all the programs. And it's not something that typically a CTO who hyper-focuses on the technology really does. And he has a really great story about how he migrated from Nigeria to the UK to Canada, and even was in the US for a short period of time, and how all of that has influenced some of the decisions and programs he works on. So all that to say, I was really intrigued by his story. I've wanted to have him on the show for a while. And finally, he said yes. And one of the reasons why is he looked to see some of the things I was doing and what are some of the things I'm passionate about and what are my narratives around those things. And he ended up reaching back out to me and said, let's set it up. Let's do a pre-show and we talk about it, but let's set this up. I've seen some of the things you've done on LinkedIn and some of the writing and speaking you've done, and I absolutely align with it and want to have this conversation. So I think all that to say, persistence is great, but just understand that they might be identifying you too, and make sure you understand your brand and some of the messages you're putting out there too.
Excellent point. And I'm sure, you have a lot of Government Huddle podcast episodes under your belt at this point. So that's a great reference point for them to go back to and look at. And you're right. I've seen a lot of your stuff across the board on LinkedIn. I know you're doing a lot of guest articles. Your brand is out there tremendously these days, which I'm sure is awesome for you on many levels. But on this level, they can see what Brian Chittister is all about. Say, yes, he's legit. He's a thought leader, and he's going to do probably a thoughtful podcast. Say yes to him, right?
Exactly. And that's, I'm hoping my brand's out there, and you want to make sure that you're someone that can be trusted with an information source, which is obviously important, not just putting stuff out there, but it's trusted. And one of the biggest things I tell my sales team when we're talking about social media is don't be afraid to give your opinion on something too. Don't just, if you're going to post something on LinkedIn, and honestly, if you really want LinkedIn expertise, there's other people beyond me you can go to, like Mark Amtower, or even Erica Pia, who I've had on the, both of them I've had on the podcast, and they're both experts far beyond me. But don't just take an article and post it. Give your opinion on it. Take the couple minutes it would take to read through the article, that if it's that important to you, and comment on what your thoughts are, and CC somebody who you think might have other comments as well. That goes a long way into establishing credibility, but also thought leadership in the space. And it doesn't really take a lot of time.
No, and you're right. And I think that was kind of the core tenet of LinkedIn, or at least LinkedIn strategies, 8, 9, 10 years ago, was like, you wanted to use it as a platform to create a dialogue. But I see lots of people, and I'm guilty of it too. Here's an interesting story, put out the link. It self-populates now. So you're like, okay, great. That's all I need to do. But that's certainly not enough. And I've seen other people that have done a great job like that, offering commentary. And then you look, they have like 50 comments on it. You have a whole dialogue going. And that was the original intention for LinkedIn marketing.
And people want to know that you have an opinion too. They don't just, let's be clear. I mean, the article that I post has probably already reached some of the people that are going to see it. They've either read it, or they've seen the headline, or they're already aware of what's happening. That's not really breaking news to them. But what they want to know is what does Brian think about it? But they're cultivating a group of people, and they want to know what that group of people perhaps has to say about whatever the topic area is. And I think that's really important. One great example is one of the big initiatives that I see happening across government is around the cybersecurity maturity model certification. Yeah. And I see things around CMMC on LinkedIn and Google and everywhere. But there's a certain number of people that when I see a headline, if I go on LinkedIn, I already know what's happening, but there's a couple people on there that I know are going to have an opinion on it. And those are the people that I want their opinion on. So I think it's important that that's what you're driving is your thought around it, not just what the article is saying.
Yeah, that's great insights there. And speaking of opinion, you're going to be offering your opinion in the form of a keynote commentary for Alexis Bunnell's keynote address for Gain. And for everybody who's not familiar with Alexis, she is an emerging technology evangelist at Google, but she's also the former chief innovation officer at USAID. So if you don't mind, Brian, tell us about what you're hoping to learn from that session, and really would love to hear kind of what your thoughts are, or maybe a preview of what your keynote commentary will be.
Honestly, the headline here is Alexis is amazing. She's impressive. I had the ability to spend some time with her in the run-up to this. And I mean, she's going to do great things at Google, but I wish she was back in government, because she's the kind of person that we need running some of these programs. The amount of risk aversion that is happening within government is one of the reasons why they've been slow to kind of keep up with some of the private sector innovations happening. And she took calculated risks and was very successful in doing that. And in just some of the conversations that I had with her and her understanding of what she's really impressive. And I think the attendees at Gain this year are going to get a lot out of her keynote for sure.
Outstanding. Can't wait to see that, and also to see your keynote commentary. I'll be certainly tuned in to that. And then let's talk about Gain overall. I mean, 2020 has been a strange year, but in many ways, Gmark, you has pivoted. We all have. I feel, because of 2020, I feel more connected to the government marketing community through the ideation calls, through your podcast. I do a podcast for Gmark U with Tom Suter as well. It's just all these virtual things popped up that Gmark U pushed that's been tremendous. I think it's filled a gap and more. And I think in many ways, Gain in this virtual format, Lou Ann told me the other day on our podcast, I think there's 19 sessions. I mean, it's much more bigger in terms of content that we all can learn from that you typically don't get in the one day event. And then you have a happy hour afterwards. So love to hear your thoughts overall about this year's virtual format and what you want to get out of it.
I think what Lou Ann's really, I was going to say stumbled upon, but she didn't stumble upon it, right? It was really strategic and smart on her part, is she understood that the government marketing community is very much a community. It's an ecosystem of people that a lot of us know each other. A lot of us work together on a daily basis, and we value each other's opinions, but a lot of us are friends too. And I think Gain harnessed that to an extent. But what she's done in 2020 is really allowed the pandemic to be a galvanizer for this community. And she has been the platform in which we can come together, share thoughts, hear from not just thought leaders, but hear from each other. That's generally the thing that I take the most value out of when I would attend any ideation call or have conversations within the Gain community, is I don't need to hear what an outsider has to think about a situation. I just want to hear about the things that are being done from the practitioners that are doing it, from my friends, from my counterparts at other organizations. And she's really harnessed that. And this year, I think with the digital nature of everything happening, I've been really impressed with the amount of community that has been cultivated with Gain. I don't feel like it's the pandemic had it take a step back, but I think it's really accelerated like it has in every other industry and every other program and things out there. It's really accelerated the ability for us to come together and perhaps build friendships, build partnerships. And Gain is just another avenue for us to do that in a year that's been crazy.
Great, great point there. Because one of my favorite things about the past Gain conferences, I certainly love all the keynotes and I learn a lot, but it is about seeing friends and making that connection. And we are a relatively small community and we are all connected. And your point is well taken. You and I have become friends this year just through all of this virtual stuff. Mm-hmm. We never met in person, but we interact all the time. And I've done that with many other people. And it's not for, you know, to use the word Gain to help me get more clients. It's just I want to be more connected and have more friends in this kind of large family that we have. And it's certainly happened for me. And I love that point that you made about everybody being friends and connected.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I'm really looking forward to Gain, is there are still folks out there that I haven't been able to interact with. And I'm looking forward to kind of this kind of big impending event being one of those things that brings us all together. And unfortunately, it won't be in person, but I know there will be more in-person Gains to come. And this will just be one that we'll be able to talk about for years and years. So I'm looking forward to it. One of the things I would be remiss to not comment on is the availability that virtual has kind of brought to some of us, right? So you mentioned earlier some of the great guests that I have. And one of the reasons is it's so easy to be able to jump on your laptop and have a conversation with somebody. And I also think it's probably one of the reasons why we have so many sessions and so many great speakers that Luann and Stephanie and team were able to cultivate for this event. So I'm really looking forward to this kind of raising the stature of GAIN within the government leadership. And I think it'll be one that we can really build upon moving forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I totally agree. And for my final question, which I've been doing for this podcast series, is where is government marketing headed in 2021? And before you answer that question, I was excited to ask this because you've done so many Government Huddle podcasts about this topic. So with that in mind and the context that you have and everything you've learned over the past year, from your perspective, where is government marketing headed in 2021?
Wow, no pressure. No, you're absolutely right. I've had some really great conversations. And kind of what I think about this is it's not going to be any type of tactic or platform or anything like that. I just think that government marketers are going to get smarter about the market, about the way they need to interact with government and what their narratives are on topics. I mentioned before having an opinion on something. And I think we as marketers don't often think about what our opinion is on something. It's generally there's some type of compliance standard out there that we're marketing towards, or we're doing a campaign around something that we know is trendy in government. We want to capitalize on it. But why? And why is it so important to government? So understanding that and having an opinion on it is a huge step forward to how we start to look at the market. And I think 2021 is going to be one where we're just going to get smarter. We as marketers often rely on what are quote unquote thought leaders within our organization to provide us content. And that shouldn't be the case. It doesn't have to be the case. We're really smart. We understand the market well. And I think we're only going to build on that. So all that to say, I think we're going to understand not only themes and concepts to a better degree, but who are the people within government that we need to influence. So strategically, I think 2020 is going to be one where we're just going to get smarter on things.
Awesome. What a perfect way to end this GAIN 2020 podcast series interview with Brian Chittister, who's the head of global industry strategy at OpenText. And as we talked about, he's the host of the Government Huddle GMARQ podcast series. And we'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you have not yet registered for the GAIN conference, go to thegainconference.com to register. The event will take place over 4 days, 2 hours each day from November 10th through November 19th. And we hope to see everybody in that virtual format. And Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.